Okay, Rabbi, so today's daf is daf Kuf Yud. We're holding the second line from the top of the Amid. Kisolik Rabbi Lozar, Ashkechei Lizi'iri. When Rabbi Lozar, was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, he went to Eretz Yisrael. And he left Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. And he met Zi'iri. Omalei ikatana disnai l'rav kechal. Is there someone here who taught Rav the halacha of Chal? What does that mean? Remember in yesterday's Gemara, we had what happens if a person cooked Chal? Not really cooked, because according to the Maskonas Gemara, we're talking about Tzli. He went and roasted Chal. Now what you're supposed to do is, you're supposed to be koiroi, like we said back in the Mishnah. If you go back to the Mishnah, Kuf Tes Amid Aleph. All the way in the bottom of the omud, akchal. Remember, kchal means the udders of the animal, and those udders have in them milk. So what do? Says the Mishnah, koiroi umoitzi es chalovai. Before you go and cook them, or before you go and roast them, do a kriya to get out the milk. Remember we had yesterday in the Gemara that there's a big difference between the kriya that you do for a roasting and a kriya that you do for a cooking. For a roasting, you can just basically do a koldahu, an almost a superficial type of kriya. However, and the reason for that is because by putting it on the spit itself is going to draw out a lot of that milk. Masha'enkin, if you're cooking it inside a kedera, you're leaving all the milk inside. So what you have to do is a kriya shesi ve'erev, both vertical and horizontal, and then smash it against the wall to go and get out any residue of milk still inside that chal. Okay. And then yesterday we had a machloikis. Actually, we had two lishoinis of what Rab Zeira Omarav said. Because our Mishnah said, what happens if you loikaroi? What happens if you didn't do your kriya and you just cooked it or you just roasted it? Says the Mishnah, Einei over olav. You're not over now on Hilchis Basar B'cholav, either on Bishul or on eating it. And now the question was, Brother Shai has now appeared on the scene. Harafu Shleima, Brother Shai. Zad Gibet, Shai Kizut.
Did I miss much?
No, we just started. We're still in the introduction stage. Today's Daf Kuf Yud, and we're focusing on the two Reb Zeira Omaravs that we had on Kuf Tes Amid Beis, where the Gemara is talking about what happens if, in fact, he didn't do a kriya, and he did a bishul, and now the person eats from that chal that was just cooked now. What's the din? So Rabbi Chiya Omarav at the top of the omit said, Einei over olav u mutter lechat chilo, you're allowed to go and eat it. Avada lechat chilo, you're supposed to go and be koirea. If, however, you forgot, you weren't koirei, and you roasted it, what's the halacha? Says Reb Zeira Omarav, not only ain't over olav u mutter lechatchila to go and eat it after the roasting, even though you didn't do a kriya previously. Yes.
Sorry, does kriya, does that include the throwing it against the wall or just the cutting part?
It's a very good question. So if you're talking about bishul in a kedera, then the kriya has in it three components. Number one, Shasi, which is your vertical, your Erev, which is your horizontal cutting, you cut it with a knife or something similar, and then component number three is you smash it against the wall to get out any residue of milk. That's a kriya that you do for kedera, for cooking. However, if you're just doing roasting, all you have to do is a kriya, you don't even need to do a shasi, the Erev, it's enough to do a shasi or Erev, meaning either just the vertical or just the horizontal. You don't need to smash it against the wall. You put a spit and you roast it inside your rotisserie, and then hopefully drops and drops of milk will come out, and therefore you'll be able to eat it based on that much more lenient type of kriya. That's what we learned in the Gemara yesterday. If you want, I see Ariel, you're a little bit bothered by this, so if you want to look at smack in the middle of the Amud Beis, Kuf Tes Amud Beis, the Rashi on the left hand side. We said first, V'tochu b'koisel. Do you have that on the left-hand side in the middle?
Yeah.
Koiv shoy biyod of the koisel. He takes it and he kvetches it. He squeezes it against the wall. Kedei she'yischad cholvay. So all the cholav should come out. And then the Gemara said, Krali, tear me for me. Kal koidim she titzlenu. Before you make a tzli, before you roast it. V'ano eichan I'll eat it. I, our Mishnah, Masisini de koray mitchilosi umutter. Our Mishnah that tells us that you do a kriya and then it's mutter. Hakamashlam kriya ba'alma ka'amalei. You only need a kriya ba'alma, meaning oy shesi, oy erev. You don't need both. And moreover, you don't need a shesi of erev. And tochu ba'koisel, shesi or erev is sufficient. Everybody, please put yourselves on mute, particularly those that have their eniklech, from which whom they're shepping a lot of nachas. So it says, right in the Rashi, why? Why is enough either shesi or orev? Vishacholav hanoitif yoitzilamata. Because as a result of putting it now on the spit, the cholav is going to be noitef, it's going to go and drip down. Umishiyotza bari cholav lechaz, and after that it's not going to return. And therefore, vleboi shesve erev elikdeira. Only for a pot you need shesi, erev, and tochu b'koisel, but not for tzli. Okay, so that was yesterday. And now, remember, we had two lishoynis in our Gemara. Rab Zeira Omarav said at the top of the Omud, Umutter, that if you're doing tzli, and even if you forgot to do the kriya, you're allowed to eat it, no problem, Umutter. However, we had Ikadi Amri, about halfway down the Omud, Rab Zeira Omarav, Eina Oy Ovalav Vi Osur. No, if you didn't do a kriya, no good. It's osur to go and eat. So now, Reb Lozer heard about these two Reb Zeira Omer Ravs, and apparently he found favor with the second one of Reb Zeira Omer Rav, that in fact it's osur. And now he wants to know, who is the one that taught Rav that this din of khal, if he didn't do a kriya, and he did a tzli, he did a roasting, that it's osur b'achila. Iskisolik Rebloza Ashkel Ziri, he met Ziri and Omalei. Ikatano disnail and Rav Khal. Is there anyone here that taught Rav the halach of Khal, like the second Lashon, that it's osur b'achila? Achveis Reb Ziri, when Ziri went and pointed to Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, and he said, that is the person who taught Rav this halacha of Chal, that if you didn't do a kriya, osur ba'achila. Omalei. So then Rav Yitzchak bar Udimi said, Ano lo shinisi lo chal kol ikar. Truth be told, it wasn't me. I didn't teach him anything. Why did Rav come and he was so machmir? For avika matza v'goder bo geder. This is an expression. A bika literally is a valley. But here what it means to say is that Rav saw that people unfortunately were not being makbid on hilchis basar b'cholav. And therefore, what he says is I have to be goyder geder, I have to build up a Mexican wall to make sure that people do follow the dictates of the Torah in basar b'cholav. And the Gemara tells us what the story was. The Rav Ikla the Tatelfush, Rav came to a town of Tatelfush, Shomot lahu itza, and he overheard a conversation, lahi itza, that a lady said to Amr lechaberta, she was speaking to her friend, and she asked her friend, tell me, riva de bisra, if I have a roiva of basar, Rashi says, riva litra, a liter of basar, and I want to cook it, not cook it in water, but cook it in milk, kama cholva boilev shulei. How much do I need to put? In other words, he's asking, she's asking the recipe. I want to go and cook milk, meat in milk, and I want to know the proper proportions so that it's going to come out tasty and delicious. When Rav hears this, then his hair automatically stands on end, and he says, "Loikimiri de basar b'cholav asur." These ladies don't know that it's an isser in the Torah 3 times, like Sebashel Gedi. It's a bishul, it's achila, it's ranot. She doesn't know about this. I can't believe it. And therefore, Yaakov, he stayed around in Tatelfush a little longer than he had expected. The ka'asalahu kachli, to go and really nail it, so that everybody should realize that this iser of basar b'chalev is big time iser. He said, even I'm not allowed to eat kachli, the udders. If you didn't do a kriya and you went and roasted it on a spit, you're not allowed to eat it. You have to do at least a minimal kriya by tzliya, which would be either the shasi or the erev, but you didn't do anything, then it's totally aser. Which is, of course, like the second lashon of the Gemara yesterday, Omer Abzeira Omer Rav, Einar Oiva Olav, the aser. Says the Gemara.
Why was it said Einar Oiva Olav?
Very good question. So that question really is a question for yesterday. Rashi said Einar Oiva Olav means he does not get Malkus. Why doesn't he get Malkus? Because this is not Basar B'cholav Min HaTorah, it's only Basar B'cholav Midrabanan. Why is it Midrabanan? Rashi said already on the Amud Aleph, the Lav Cholav Mikri. It is not called milk Min HaTorah. The only milk Min HaTorah is after it's squeezed out of the udders and it's come La'avira Oilam, now it has the status of milk Midyaraisa. Cholav, which is embedded in the Kchal, is not considered Diraisa milk, it's only Dirabonon milk. Says Rav, I take this Dirabonon very, very seriously, and to make sure that people are not going to be over in the Isra of Basar B'cholav Diraisa, I'm even asking for them the milk which is what the Gemara calls Cholav Shchuta, the Cholav which is embedded inside the Kchal, if you go and roast them together without the benefit of any Kriya. The way we just learned the last Gemara over the last 10 minutes, that's exactly how Rav Kahana had been Masoira. That's what happened. That he, Rav Yitzchak Bar Abdimi, had nothing to do with this, but rather the reason why Rav became so machmir is because of this story in Tatelfish. Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba Masdi. However, Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba taught the Gemara a little bit differently. The way his Masoira was, that when Ze'iri pointed to Rav Yitzchak Bar Ubdimi and said, he's the one that taught Rab the Hilchos Chal Lehachmir, what did Rav Yitzchak Bar Ubdimi say? According to the verse version, he said, Ani loy shenisi loy kol ikar, I wasn't involved at all. According to the second version, no, he was involved, but he said, Anok Chal Shlomenika shenisi loy. I taught him the halach of Chal of a female animal that was nursing a baby. And because it was not nursing, the udders got full of milk. What the Gemara is telling us is that a non-nursing female animal also has milk, but does not have that major storage of milk in its udders. Rather, it just has milk. When you give a kvetch and you squeeze it out, some milk will come out. But a nursing mommy has tons of milk, so to speak. So therefore, says Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abdimi, when I was machmir, I was only machmir by chal shlomenika, because then you had cholof konus harbe, says Rashi. You have a large storage of milk inside. Oy, oy, oy. So what's going to happen is, if you don't do a kriya, even if you roast it, there's still going to be milk left back in that chal. So therefore I told him, on that case, you got to be machmir. However, Rav went to the next level, and he said, even if it's a chal she'ena shel menika, it's also aser. What's the reason why? Umepulpule shirabchia, shonalek chal, stop. So Rashi explains that I, Rav Yitzchak Bar Abdimi, I originally gave the shir for Rav Chia and the other Talmidim. Rav Chia, when he repeated it, Rav Chia was very, very sharp, very mechudin ma'oid, very sharp. And therefore, when he repeated the Dvar Halacha, he didn't bother saying Chal Shlomenika, he just said Chal Stam, with the understanding that we're talking about a Chal Shlomenika. And Rav Chia assumed that all of the Talmidim understood that it was Chal Shlomenika and not a regular Chal. But unfortunately, that's not how the Talmidim explained it or understood it, because Rav Chia was much more mechudod than the Talmidim. And when he said chal, even though he thought in his mind, parenthetically, chal shlomenika, they just heard the word chal, And that's how they accepted it. And that's how the Makoir, that Rav was Machmer even more than Reb Yitzchak Bar Udimi and Reb Chiya, because of his misunderstanding, he thought it was any Kchal, not just a Kchal Shel Menika. Now the Gemara tells us a story. Ravin Reb Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Ikloi Lebei Rav Papi. Ravin Reb Yitzchak Bar Yosef came to the home of Rav Papi. Aysel Kamayu Tavshila de Kchal. They served on the table a Tavshil of Kchal. Ay, ay, ay. Reb Yitzchak Bar Yosef Ochal. Reb Yitzchak Bar Yosef didn't ask any questions. He made a Brucha Shehakoil and he ate the Kchal. Ravin Loi Ochal. Ravin did not eat the Kchal. Omer Abaye, Abaye who apparently was present, said, Ravin Tachla Maile Ochal. Why didn't you go and eat from the Kchal? What is this expression, Ravin Tachla? Ravin Tachla is a very unfortunate statement. Rashi says, Tachla Shokul Koiver Ezbonav. Unfortunately, Ravin Nebuch buried his children. They passed away during his own lifetime. Why did Abaye speak so sharply vis-a-vis Ravin? You'll see, because Abaye was critical of Ravin. He comes to the home of Rav Papi and he doesn't eat. How can you do something like that? If you're eating by the great Godel Rav Papi, and especially the Rebbetzin Rav Papi, you're not going to go and eat. What's the problem? Or why did Abaye respond so sharply? He said, Mechli debisu de Rav Papi. You know who Rebbetzin Rav Papi is? That's Brate de Reb Yitzchak Nafcha Hava. That is the daughter of the famous Reb Yitzchak Nafcha. In which respect was Reb Yitzchak Nafcha famous? Reb Yitzchak Nafcha morei di uvda hava. What means morei di uvda, says Rashi? Zohir b'masim toivim. A grois er l'chayid. A machmir. A medaktik b'mitzvahs. He doesn't just go and take anybody so. He goes and makes sure that everything that he eats is super kosher. Without any doubts, without any shyness whatsoever. So Reb Yitzchak Nafcha is mori de uvdahav. Ilav de shmiya lo mibay nasha. If the Rebbetzin Papi, had she not learned in her father's home that you're allowed to eat chal, lo yihava avda, she wouldn't have made chal. The fact that she made chal and put it on the table, Ravin, with all due respect, you have nothing to worry about. You should have eaten, just like Reb Yitzchak Bar Yosef ate. That's the end of that story. And now the Gemara continues and tells us, Besura le'achli kachli. And Barry is going to remind us who lived in Sura. Rav. Since Rav lived in Sura, right? Rav in Sura, and Shmuel was in Ne'edor. Rav was in Sura, and therefore people followed the psak of Rav, and they didn't eat chal. That was not where there was no kriya before. So they were very makbid in Sura. The Pumbedisa, achli kachli. In Pumbedisa, they did eat chal. Because in Pumbedisa, they didn't follow Rav's second lashon, but like the Rav's first lashon, that it's mutter. So now the Gemara tells us a story based on that difference of opinion between Sura and Pumbedisa. Yes, Ariel.
Hold on. Yeah, I thought previously he just prohibited in that city of Taklafos. So now Rav said no unders everywhere.
Apparently, although according to the second Lashon, or the first Lashon really, that Rav made this gedder in Taklafos, apparently after that when he got back to Sura, the word spread. Either he spread it or others spread it, that Rav put on a chumrah not to go and eat this chal, and they apparently adopted that in Sura, even though Sura didn't have the same problem as Taklafos, because presumably people there were makbid on Bas B'cholav, but this way they added yet another layer of chumrah to make sure they're not over any Isur. So that's a very good point that you're asking, Ariel. The Gemara doesn't automatically connect the two, the Taklafos, to the Sura, but somehow or other, apparently, this gzeira became widespread, not only in Taklafos, but even in Sur. But it did not spread to Pumbedisa. Pumbedisa, they continued eating. Yeah, was Dr.
After the war, when a lot of survivors from Hungary came to Chicago, which had allowed Shochtim, the standards of Shemitah and Kashrus got very, very tough. compared to who it was before the war, so I've been told, because the Hungarian Jews were much more mocked on certain things than previously. I know I was in New York. I know in Chicago it was famous that kashrus changed after the war. Because I guess the Hungarians saw that the menhagim in Chicago were not the standards they had in Europe, and they protested.
I don't know if you remember Rav Rif Zatzal. Rav Rif was the shver of the late Rabbi Gettinger, Zichron Levracha, from the Young Israel, and the great grandfather of today's Rabbi Gettinger, Zalzayin Gesund. And Rav Rif was a tremendous goyin. He was a Litvisher, and he was an enikul of the Netziv. In fact, his name was Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Rif, named after Netziv, who was Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. Anyway, regardless, he had hashkocha on a shlachtos, on a Beis Shechita, and he spoke very, very highly of Mendi's grandfather, who was the Seren Cheruv. They were contemporaries, and the Seren Cheruv also had a hashkocha on Shechita. So Rav Rif said about the Seren Cheruv, can you imagine? He is makbid that all the wives of all of the shochtim that work for him, that are under his hashkocha, that they should all cover their hair. Of course, that today doesn't sound that shocking or surprising, but in those days, very, very few Orthodox women covered the hair, even those that were from very, very frum families. So he was being mishabeach, the Seren Cheruv. Can you imagine that hakpoda that he has, that the shochtim should be so erlich that their wives all cover their hair? So
Stanley showed us, Memdi, a few months ago, that piece of paper that you showed us.
Not different. That was about a better for Shita. Yes, but the Rabbi Cohen used to talk about a lot of the shochtim were had non-Jewish girlfriends and non-Jewish wives. He would tell us all the real the Torah about that were really going on in Shlita. Rabbi Cohen, all the shalom.
Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara. Anyway, bottom line is they adopted this minhag of Rav and this Chumrah in the whole of Surah, but not in Pumbedisa. So Gemara tells us a story. And this is going to be a very fascinating story, as you will see. The story is going to go on into the Amid Beis. Rami bar Tamri dehu Rami bar dekuli. His first name was Rami, or maybe his only name was Rami, and his father's name was Tamri or dekuli. Now Tamri and dekuli are both related in the sense that Tamri, of course, means dates, and dekuli means a date tree, a title bond. So now, it sounds like from the Gemara that Rami had two names, one his regular name, and then probably one was a nickname. You see that the connection between Tamri and Dikuli. That is the Girsa in our Gemara. Is a slightly different Girsa, where not that he is called Rami bar Dikuli, but that he was the Edim, he was the son-in-law, or the Shver. If you look, I don't know if you have that Gois Vitzunim on the side, but he brings Menachas Daf Choftes Isa Rami Bar Tamri to Chamua to Rami Bar Dekuli. Not that they were the same, but he was the Shver, the father-in-law of Rami Bar Dekuli. Okay, regardless, so what's the story with him? He was Mi Pumbedisa. He lived in Pumbedisa. Remember where they were Mekel and they ate Kachli. And Ikla Lesuri came to Sura where you don't eat Kachli. The Maliyam Tikipuri on Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, on Erev Yom Kippur, of course, it's a mitzvah to go and eat, just like there's a mitzvah on Yom Kippur to fast. However, you'll all note that it's easier to go and be mekayim the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur than fasting on Yom Kippur. So, to go and have a festive seuda before Yom Kippur, everybody ate meat. And Afkinu Kuli Alma Lekachlinu Shadinu. Everybody took the waste that they didn't need, that was their chalz, and they threw it out. They threw it out, presumably, on the public dumpster or garbage dump, and they threw out the chalz because they're not eating it. They live in Surah, they don't eat the chalz. Ozel iu naktinu achlinu. Now, Rami bar Tamri came, and as we'll see from the Gemara, he was a poor individual, Rami bar Tamri. He needed food. And he was just a guest in town, and He had no food with him. Apparently nobody knew of him. They didn't invite him in. And what did he do? He collected together those chals and he ate them before Yom Kippur to be able to be full and to be able to fast. When people heard about it, they were enraged. They were incensed. It brought him in front of Rav Chisda. Can you imagine somebody violating the local customs and he's eating chal? Amalei, Rav Chisda asked him, Amai tabet hachi, why did you do that? Amalei mi asud Rav Yehuda ana, I'm from Papadisa, which is the town of Rav Yehuda, the achel, where there the minig is that we do eat it. So Amalei said, okay, I understand in Papadisa you eat it. Veleslach, don't you know the famous halacha, noisen olav chumri hamakam sheyotze misham, v'chumri hamakam shehalach lisham, that when you have a person that is visiting in another place, he should continue with his own chumris, because after all that is his mesoira, that's his tradition, but he should also be very makbid not to go and infringe on the local custom. So therefore you shouldn't have eaten chal here in the town of Surah, where nobody eats it. Amalei, so Rami Bar Tamri said, I was aware of this halacha, and chutz l'tchum achlesinu. I did not eat it within the city limits, but I waited till I saw the town, the sign that says, Surah ends here, and another town starts thereafter. And I made sure to go over the border, so I was not eating it in Surah. He says, okay, ubemet t'visinu, where did you have wood, where did you have fuel to go and roast it to be able to go and eat from the chal? Amalei b'portzini. I found some old portzini. Portzini are chartzanim, which are grape seeds. Torah says about einozim mechartzanim v'adzog leyoichel. Portzini are chartzanim, old grape seeds. And these old grape seeds, I was able to go and make a fire. Frank Timura, how do you know? V'dumim yayin esachav. Maybe these chartzanim are from yayin esach, and therefore they're osir bano. How were you able to go and use that for a fire? I could tell that these were very, very old, and they were more than 12 months old. And Rashi tells us from the Sechtas of Avodah Zarah that when it comes to chartzanim, lachim, if they are fresh, they're osir. But once they're more than 12 months old, they're mutter, they no longer have the din of Isra Hanah. The Isra Hanah goes away after 12 months. Okay, but maybe these belonged to Yankel, Beryl, Shmerel, somebody, and you stole his portzini. I could tell that whoever owned it was already miyayish. In other words, it was mafkirit. He didn't need it anymore. Why? What means kadchu bechilfi? Says Rashi that you had grass already growing over these portzini, these grape seeds, to the point that you could tell that they were already rotting and they were miskalkil, and they were just withering away. And obviously, it wasn't just a situation where that these are already 12 months old, but you already had all types of rotting and all types of grass growing on it, and therefore it's clear that the Balaam were no longer interested in it, because if they were interested, they would have used it a long time ago. So they were miyayish, they were mafkir. Okay, Chazia, he, Rav Chisda, saw that Rami, loy have a monach tefillin, he was not wearing tefillin, and Amalei, my time lemanchas tefillin. Remember, in the good old days, he used to wear tefillin the whole day, not just during shachris. How come you're not wearing tefillin? Amalei, chuyle me'ayin hu. Unfortunately, I have stomach problems. Rashi says that, what's the lashon of Rashi? And the Omer of Yehuda choyim le'ayin potem in a tefillin, says Rashi potem in a tefillin, they should tzorech lechaltson todeh, because he constantly has to go and remove the tefillin. Now, that doesn't really explain why a person is potem in a tefillin, so if he has to remove it, so let him remove it. What's the issue? What's the problem? However, in the Gemara there's, I don't know what your Gemara may have, a Zion or a Dalit I have here on the side, that Toisus and Ksubis writes that the reason why a choylem ayin is potim in a tefillin is because, as you know, the Gemara says when it comes to tefillin, you have to have a guf naki, totally cleaned out. And in this situation where a person is choylem ayin, at any given moment he may get a diarrhea explosion and he won't be able to control himself. And Yecholim Dizar Heitev. So therefore, that's why Yecholim Ayayin, who has this problem, is part of the tefillin, doesn't have to wear tefillin, because he can't have a gufnaki, because at any moment, things can explode. Which is presumably what Rashi meant as well. They should tzarech lechaltz and todir. Any given moment, he has to run to the facilities.
Where does Zion go to?
The Zion probably goes to Masoret HaShas all the way on top on the right hand margin. You see it there?
Yeah. I'm the Pirush Rashi. The Hacha Achan tells us.
And we continue on. Chazal have a karami chuti. He also saw that he was not wearing tzitzis. Now, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, it's not that he wasn't wearing a beged of arba kanfais. As you know, min ha-toira, if you're not wearing a beged of four corners, you don't have to put on tzitzis. But here he's talking about that he was wearing a talis of dalet kanfis, arba kanfis, and there were no tzitzis on it. Amalei, my time and less lechachuti, how come you're not wearing tzitzis? Amalei talis she'ulahi. This is a borrowed talis. It's not mine. From Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda Paskin, on to the Amid Beis, talis she'ula, kol shloishim yoyim, p'turim and tzitzis. The first 30 days, you're b'turim and tzitzis. Vasu lechem tzitzis, al kanfei b'deyim le'doiroisim. It's got to be on your begodim. Not a beged of somebody else. Somebody else's tala sheula, you're part of a tzitzis, you don't have to put on tzitzis. How long is sheula? Up to 30 days. Once the other person lent it to you, kind of on a permanent loan, and the permanent doesn't mean for 50 years, 30 days, then you're ready, chayiv tzitzis. So he said it's tala sheula, and I only borrowed it yesterday, so I'm part of a tzitzis. Okay, we see this Rami Bar Tkuli, Rami Bar Tamri, was a choshev Talmud Chochem, but we're not finished yet. Ad hochi, as this discussion is ongoing, Aisulahu Gavra, the Lord have a moiker avu of the ime. They brought in an individual that unfortunately was not Mekayim, the mitzvah of kibbut av ve'en. So what did they do? Kafsu. They went and tied him to the stake for purposes of giving him makis mardis. Person is not Mekayim a mitzvah asay, as we know, there is no din of malkis min ha-toyrah. Because Malkis is only if you're oiver, you violate a lav. If a person is not Mekayim and Mitzvah Saseh, we tell him you're naughty, you're bad, but min ha-toyra, there's no din of Malkis. However, midrabanan, when a person is stubborn and he continues not to Mekayim Mitzvah Saseh, then we give him Makis Mardis. Makis Mardis means Makis because he is rebelling against the Torah. Yes, my good friend. Yes, Ariel.
Is this done through, like, to aid him in a warning?
Absolutely. Like, normal, just like your normal case of Malkus Deraisa, this is Malkus Rabban. This Malkus Rabbanan is, however, in one sense, more chomor than the Malkus Deraisa, because Malkus Deraisa, as you know, there's a maximum of 39. And if a person is weak and frail, then you cut it down. You don't give him 39, you give him 3, 6, 9, got to be in sets of three. Rashi says, however, a person is not Mekayim Mitzvah Saseh, and he's stubborn about it, and he continues, we're not talking about it one time in his life, second time, third time, we warn him, we tell him, mister, you got to put on tefillin, you got to put on tzitzis, you got to be Mechabit Av'ein, you got to make a sukkah and sit in it. All of these are Mitzvah Saseh, they're not loiseses, but if he refuses to listen, the Gemara uses the expression, Makin oisoi achetetse nafsha. So theoretically, you can go and give him 100 malkis instead of just 39. So achetetse nafsha presumably is not to be taken literally, but it means if this person is stubborn, we gotta beat him, like you would say in English, you beat him to death to make sure that he changes his ways. So they brought in such a person, unfortunately, was not Makayim kibbut av'ein. Kafsu, they already tied him down, getting ready to start whipping him. Amalahu, so Rami Bar Tamri said, Shefku, don't do that. The Sanya, we have a braisa. Komitzis asay, shematin schor betzida. If it's not just the mitzis asay, but the Torah tells you the schar for being mekayim this mitzis asay, which we all know when it comes to kibbut av'ein, l'man yarichin yamecha, you get arichas yamim, a tremendous bracha if you're mekayim mitzis kibbut av'ein properly. then you do not have to give makis mardis. What's the reason why you don't give makis mardis? So Rashi explains, since this is a mitzvah where the Torah writes specifically what the schar is, so if you want to get that schar, do the mitzvah. If you don't want to do the mitzvah, you won't get the schar, but I'm not going to punish you for it, because that's the reason why the Torah gave you the matan schar b'tzida, wrote it befeidish in the Torah, l'man yirichin yimechel, l'man yitav loch, alu adama, so that you want to do it, great, and you'll get all the proper rewards. You don't want to do it, you're a fool, because you're going to miss out on these proper rewards. The Meforshim add that we're not talking about a person that Chas V'Sholem is embarrassing or disgracing or chalila cursing or hitting his parents. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a person who's, if you will, neutral. He doesn't hit them, he doesn't bother them, but on the other hand, he also does not give them any kibbut av v'ein. He never calls them, he never visits them. He basically says, I don't want to have anything to do with them. Such an individual, he's not, you don't go and punish him and say, oh, you, the way you're humiliating your parents and what are you doing and you're embarrassing them. No. The only thing is, he's not mechabed av'ein, says Rami Bar Tamri, based on this brisa, we do not give him makis mardis. Rav Chisda was very, very impressed. Omalei, chazin aloch v'charif istuva. I see, boy, are you sharp. Not only were you able to answer all of my questions so satisfactorily, but you brought up this point about not giving makis mardis for a person that was not mekayim mitzvasei shematan schar b'tzida. So Rami Bar Tamri responds, Omalei, yehavis ba'asrej of Yehuda, if you wouldn't be here in Surah, if you'd be with us in Pumpadisa, the Mokum of Rav Yehuda, Achvin Alach Harfoi. Now when I learned this originally, I thought Achvin Alach Harfoi means I would show you people that are even greater in Harifis than me. However, the way the art scroll learns Achvin Alach Harfoi, I would really be able to go and show you how sharp I am. Meaning, in the Sviva of all of the Choshiva B'nai Torah, and the Harifim, and the Lamdonim, and the Lomdim, and Pumpadisa, then I could go and pour out much more Harifas. Here, when I'm, so to speak, on vacation, here on Surah, I don't have the ability to go and show off all of my Harifas. Okay. That's the story. The obvious question is, why does the Gemara go through all of this back and forth, and all of these questions? Obviously, it shows how impressive Rami Bar Tamri was. And even though Rav Chizda, of course, is one of the major Amiroim that we find throughout Shas, in a sense, he bested him on all of his questions, especially on the last one. So why is the Gemara bringing this? So Rav Chaim Shmulevich Zatzal says, you would think that a person of the stature of Rami Bar Tamri should have invited himself into some of the people who live in Surah, should have knocked on a door, he should say a Dvar Torah, they would see he's a Choshev Yid, a Talmud Chacham, and even without that, it's Erev Yom Kippur. Doesn't everybody want to get Schusim at the last moment before Yom Kippur? He easily could have collected funds or tried to get an invitation for a meal. Rami Bar Tamri obviously was a poor individual, says Reb Chaim Shmulevich. How do I see that he's a poor individual? He didn't have enough money to buy his own food. He had to go to the garbage dump to collect the Kachli. He didn't have enough money to go and buy fuel, eitzim, to go and burn it. He had to go and find some old grape seeds that were so old that were ready, full of decay, full of schmutz, all types of stuff, because it had been there for more than 12 months. He obviously was sickly because of the fact that he said, I'm a choyle me'ayim. He's suffering. Maybe he was suffering because he didn't have enough food. He didn't have proper nutrition. He didn't have enough money for his own talis. He had to borrow a talis from somebody. So you see that, says Reb Chaim Shmulevich, he's apparently an oni ve'evyon. And the Gemara is telling us, like the Gemara says elsewhere, pshoit nevela b'shuk v'al testarach lebriyos. You should never go and solicit funds if you have any other possible option or alternative. If you can go and earn money by being pshoit nevela b'shuk, stripping an avela of its hide and being able to sell that, even though this is very demeaning and very humiliating, having to go and bend over in the middle of the marketplace and stripping the hide off of an avela, do that, the al-sistarach lebriyos, and don't go around soliciting funds or soliciting a meal. And that's what the Gemara is telling us, this story about Rami Bar Tam. So Gemara Vayter, we now leave the parsha of Chal, at least for the time being, and we're moving over to the parsha of Kaved. Kaved, as you know, is a liver, and therefore it is parallel to Chal, that just like Chal is full of milk, the liver is full of blood. Now the halacha of liver is like any raw piece of meat. If you are able to eat a raw piece of meat, then you can eat it even with the blood inside the meat. That we are makpid to go and extract all the blood from a piece of meat is because you're going to cook the piece of meat, either bikteira or bitzli, but you have to extract the dam from the meat. If, however, you're going to eat the meat with the dam inside, you don't need to go and extract the blood, because the blood, the iser, is only if it's be'en, it's in a sense yotzel aver o'olam. If it's embedded in the meat itself, you can eat it the way it is. However, who eats raw meat except for some people that are not finicky? We had them before in case of Yuma, where if Matzah Shabbos was Yom Kippur. I'm aware that that cannot happen nowadays. However, at least at some time when they were still Mekadosh Opiraiya, this was at least theoretically possible. And you had Kabbonis that were brought on Shabbos. Most of the Kabbonis you brought on Shabbos are Oila. So it would have to be a situation of a Yontif. I don't remember the particulars, but the bottom line is, you were not able to go and eat it on Shabbos because you couldn't cook, and then you couldn't wait to Matzah Shabbos. So the point is, says Yomar, those that were not finicky were able to go and eat it the end the way it was. So, over here too, you're talking about if you're not finicky, you can eat raw meat, gesundheit, and you don't need to go and extract the blood. So if you are going to go and cook, and or if you're going to go and roast, then you have to go and extract the blood. In connection with cooking it inside a kedera in a pot, you have to do, first you have to go and do a hadocha, which means you have to rinse it, you have to cut it into smaller pieces, you can't leave huge, huge slices of the animal, and then you have to go and salt it, and leave it in salt for about an hour, and not the regular salt that we have, but special, as they used to call it, kosher salt, to kasher the animal. And then after that, you had to rinse it off again, and then finally you were able to eat it. For purposes of tzli, you only have to do a little bit, almost a ceremonious type of application of salt, not the heavy-duty salt, abyssala, and then you roast it. And all that is wonderful. Kaved, however, is so full of blood, it is much, much worse. And our custom, as you know, is not to go and eat kaved when it was cooked in a pot, only when you did a tzli of roasting. We do not eat cooked kaved, cooked liver, only gebruten, only when it's roasted, and that extracts the blood from it. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara is going to talk a little bit about this at this time. So, Amalei Abaye l'Rav Safra. Abaye asked Rav Safra, Kisalkis l'hosam, when you go there, meaning you go to Eretz Yisrael, Boi minayu, please ask them, Kavda ma'atun bay. What is your minig? What do you do with kaved in terms of eating it? Kisolik, when he reached there, when he reached Eretz Yisrael, Ashchel Reb Zrika, he found Reb Zrika. Omalei, he asked Reb Zrika, what do you do? He says, Ano shalkilei, I personally cooked kaved in a pot for Reb Ami v'yachal, and he ate it. So he was saying, yes, our minig is we do cook it. It doesn't have to be on a spit. Shalkile, the word shlika, means heavy duty cooking. And I cooked it and he ate. Ki osa legabe. So now when Rav Safar heard this, he wrote it down in his machberes. And then when he came back to Abaya, he said, Amalei, he told him the story, that Reb Zrika would cook it for Reb Ami, and he ate it. And he said, that's not what I had in mind. Amalei l'meisa nafsha loy kami bayli. I wasn't worried about the meisa nafsha. What does that mean? In terms of the actual piece of kaveh, I knew that you'd be able to go and cook it and be able to go and eat from it. Even though you didn't do a tzli, you did a cooking. How did I know this? So Rashi explained that it's true that when you put the dam, not the dam, the kaveh into the hot pot of water, no question about it that some of the dam will be niflat, which means that will drip out from the piece of kaveh into the water. So what is the shaila then? The shaila is that after that the kaveh might then reabsorb that blood that already came out into the water. Since that blood already came out of the kaveh, that's heavy duty dam, you're not allowed to eat dam, and I'm afraid that that dam will go back and return into the kaveh. The kaveh is cooking inside the hot water. It's going to be a plita of dam coming out of the kaveh, and I'm afraid that the dam might return with a return ticket back into the kaveh. And then you won't be able to eat the kaveh. You know why you won't be able to eat the kaveh? Because it had blood that already came out, l'avra oilam, that wasn't originally in the kaveh. Originally it was. But the point is, once it's come out, if it goes back in, it would aser it. Says Abaya, I did not have a concern about that. The reason why I didn't have a concern is because since the kaveh was busy being polate dam, it didn't have an opportunity to be boileya the dam. It's similar to what we said in the Gemara a couple of days ago. If you have a yoyre roisachas, you have it really cooking heavy duty, then it allows for plita of either the milk from the chal, or in this case, the dam from the kaveh. However, because the kaveh is so busy being polite, it doesn't have the time, the option to go and be boileya. If you want to look at the Rashi parallel to our Gemara, Omle Abai Lameser Nafsha, about 10-12 lines from the bottom of the Omid in the Rashis, Abai Salameser Nafsha Yidama Niflut Nimena Choyze Letoicha V'Oisra, that maybe the dam that came out of the Kaveh might go on a return trip back into it and would aser the Kaveh Loimi Boili. That was not a problem.
The juice is in the chidegra, the juice is in the pot with the mevatel of the dam.
We're talking about a situation that wasn't enough of 60. There was only a small amount of water. So therefore, it's clearly dam which infects and contaminates and causes the water to be precluded and prohibited. So let me boil, says Rashi, dipshitali, even the true dehi liflight, since the COVID is so busy being polate the dam, ulahoitzi kol sha'a loy bala. As long as it's cooking inside the pot, it's not going to be boileya. So yes, you're going to have to pour away the water and the dam that's come out from the kaveh. Absolutely, you're not allowed to eat that. However, you'll be able to eat the kaveh. So if that is the shaila that you asked to Reb Zrika, and Reb Zrika said, I cooked it for Reb Ami, I didn't need that psak, I knew that on my own. Kikamaboyli, what was bothering me is lemesa chaverta. What means lemesa chaverta? That what happens if in addition to that kaveh, in the same pot, you also had another piece of meat which was cooking with it. So now the dam leaves that first kaveh because it's polate. Do you have a concern that that blood will now enter into the other piece of meat and cause it to become usher? That, says Abaya, that was my shaila, Rav Safra, which I was hoping that you would be poishit. But unfortunately you were not, because you only found out about that piece itself, as opposed to the chaverta cooking in the same pot. So now, Rav Safra is no katlakanya, and Rav Safra says to Abaya, Maishna lemeisa nafshe deloimi boyaloch, ditnan einin eseres, lemeisa chaverta namaloiti boyaloch, ditnan, says Rav Safra to Abaya, I know where you took the svara from, that it's not going to aser itself. Where did you take it from? This wasn't only your logic that told you. It's a Mishnah. Where's this Mishnah? It's a Mishnah in Masechtas Trumais. It says in the Mishnah that if you went and cooked kaved together with another piece of meat, the kaved will not aser itself with the plita's dam, because it won't be bolea, since it's so busy, says Rashi, in going kim de teruda, it's busy to be polate, it won't be bolea. That very same Mishnah says, but a chavata, which is in the same pot, will become aser. Where is this Mishnah? Says again, Rav Safra said, Maishala Mesa Nafsha Dulemi Boilach. You didn't worry about, you had no concern about Mesa Nafsha, you said that's kosher, that not because you have in the Mishnah ain't a Neseres. The very same Mishnah says, L'meis ha-chavet enam lo iti boilach. Titnan, what does it say in the Mishnah? Ha-kavit oiseres, ve'ena ne'eseres. The kavit asers the chavetah inside the same pot, but it doesn't aser itself. Why? For the very reason, ne'eshipay letas ve'ena balas, like we were just saying. It's not boilea because it's too busy being pole. So what's your shayla, Abaye? Amalei, says Abaye, I'll tell you why I wanted you to go and ask in Eretz Yisrael. Because Dil Mahosam bekavda di Isura, umishum sham nulisa. Maybe there we're not talking about a kosher kaved, a kaved from a kosher, normal, regular, kishachtan animal, but rather we're talking about a kaved from an animal that turned out to be a treifa. So if the animal is a treifa, obviously the kaved is treifa. And my concern was not about the dam coming out of the kaved. Maybe that is my concern. But maybe the subject matter of this Mishnah is not about the dam coming out of the kaved, but rather mishum shamnisa. Shamnisa means the fats. Lav dafka, the fats. What he really means to say is, the Mishnah was not addressing the issue of dam of kaved, asering itself, or asering its chavita. Perhaps that Mishnah was talking about a treifa kaved, where the problem is that the kaved itself, like any non-kosher piece of meat, it has the kaved juices besides the dam, as well as the shamnisa, meaning the whole matzav of this non-kosher kaved being together with another piece of meat inside of a pot. So I was concerned about that. Now, how does that fit into the words that kaved oiseres ve'enen ne'eseres? We mean that the kaved of a treifa piece of meat, of a treifa animal, I should say. So you have a treifa kaved. It's together with chavata inside a pot. Then that kaved releases not the dam. Maybe it does, but that's not what the Mishnah perhaps addresses. Rather, what the Mishnah is addressing, that it releases its body juices, its flavor, its shamnunisa, and that's why it asers other pieces of meat inside the same pot. Now, what happens if it's the other way around? What happens if it's a kosher kaved, and you have a non-kosher piece of meat together with it in the same pot? Then it doesn't become aser, because the kaved is so busy being polate its dam that it doesn't have an opportunity to be bolea anything. And therefore, that's why the kaved will not become treif, even though it's cooking together with a treif, a piece of meat, inside the same pot. So bottom line is, that halach of that Mishnah might not be talking about the possibilities of the kaved's dam asering either itself or its chavata, because maybe that Mishnah is talking about Hilchos Treifas and not Mishum Hilchos Dam. And therefore, Mishum Dam Amai, that was my question that I wanted you, Rav Safra, to ask when you get to Eretz Yisrael. Guess what? Rav Safra says, I'm going back. My Kihoder Solik, when he went the second time to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkel Reb Zrika, and he asked Reb Zrika, that was the same person that he asked the first time. Reb Zrika said, don't you remember? I cooked a kaved for Reb Ami. But that wasn't my shayla. My shayla was the case of whether it would aser chavata. Amalei, hainam leiti boyelach. That is also not a shayla. Why? The ano, I, Reb Zrika, the Yanai bereid Reb Ami, and Yanai the son of Reb Ami, iklon lebe Yehuda bereid Reb Shimon ben Pasi, ukrivulon, and he served us, kanya bekufya v'yachlana, Agansa Kona mit Kufya. Now, what does that mean? We haven't talked about the Kona in a long, long time. But remember, back in Eilu Treifis, we had almost every day a Kona and a Veshet. Kona, of course, is the...
The trachea,
the windpipe. And guess what's attached to the trachea? Rashi says, the rea, the lungs, the lave, the heart, and the kaveh, as well as the liver. They're all connected. And Reb Shimon ben Pazi, Yehuda Berei Reb Shimon Pazi, served us. He brought on a beautiful large platter onto the table, a kona, the trachea itself, to which were attached all of these three, the rei and the lave and the kaveh, and they had all been cooked together in one large pot, v'chalna, and we ate them. Now, since the kaveh was attached, the kaveh had blood in it. This was obviously from a kosher animal, because he's serving it to us on a golden platter in his home. And if we ate it, you see that the halacha is that the kaveh will not spoil an aser chaveta. Not only won't it aser itself, it won't answer the others as well. So the Choyra, I can finally be poshut the shayla of Abaye. Says the Gemara, not so quickly. Maskele Ravashi, we say, Reb Shmuel, Mizru Kinya. The Dilma Pikana chutz l'kdeira hav. Even though he's serving it with the whole windpipe intact, I don't know how large the pot was. Perhaps the upper part of the trachea, to which on the lower part were attached the lathe, and the rea and the kana, perhaps that upper part was sticking over the side of the pot and was acting, as, if you will, like a drain. And that what? That whenever there was blood, instead of blood going out from the kaveh into the rest of the pot, maybe it went into the kana for an easy exit outside of the pot, and so therefore no dam remained in the pot to go and aser any of the other things inside the pot. And maybe that's the reason why there's no shayla. When you have a pikana, chutz l'gdeira, and therefore that's an exhaust pipe, a drain for all the blood, then of course everything is mutalach, mutalach. My shayla is when you didn't have such a pikana, or inami, or have another hechatimitza. Perhaps nichlet have a cholet le meikara. Maybe they went and they singed or they scorched this kaveh in advance, even though it was attached and ultimately it was cooked together with all the rest. Now, what means michlet cholet? We'll see in the Gemara momentarily that there's a way to go and inhibit a kaveh from being polate its dam. How do you inhibit it? Either you soak it for a while in vinegar, and according to some, you can even do it beroyschen in hot water. That causes it to shrink or shrivel to a certain extent so that the blood stays in and doesn't come out. Ki ha, to Rav Huna, chaltele b'chala. Rav Huna used to be choylet. He would try to constrict the blood in the kaveh by soaking it in vinegar. Rav Nachman, chaltele b'roischen. And Rav Nachman said, let's go and put it in roischen in hot water. And therefore, says the Gemara, maybe that's what happened before Yehuda Bey Reid Reb Shimon Pazi, before he served this on the table. They had first been cholate the kaveh so it should not emit any blood, and then they cooked it, and then they served it. But in a case where you don't have either the eitza of the pichana chutz l'kdeira, and you didn't, and they were not cholate it, maybe a biased question still remains. Zog to Yomara. Okay, well, why don't we stop over here? Meshem to be continued tomorrow. In the meantime, have everybody a wonderful day. Hatzlocha Rabbah.